Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Schizzi!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Now, I have some company in studio that's going to be with me for the duration of the show, but first, I do want to start things off with film sociology correspondent McKenna Mays, who has interviewed Lisha Floyd from the Arts for Lawrence, as well as Aaron Cleveland from the Fat Turtle Theater Company, and their production of The Quest for Don Quixote, which runs this weekend through the 1st of April. Here is McKenna's interview with Lisha and Aaron. Enjoy.
So we're going to start with Arts for Lawrence. What is the program? What do you guys do?
Sure. So Arts for Lawrence, we are a nonprofit arts organization out in Lawrence, Indiana. We have three areas that we focus on: performing arts, literary arts, and visual arts. Our biggest piece right now is really the performing arts, as we took over the theater at the Fort, or do the programming for the theater at the Fort. We've been there since 2015, so that's kind of our baby right now, that we're trying to grow that performing arts program.
And what's your mission statement?
Our mission is Arts for Lawrence connects arts and community to inspire everyone every day.
And what kind of impact have you guys had on the community?
Sure. Well, we'd like to think that we have had a positive impact. You know, Lawrence was really an arts desert. And so having this, you know, we've been around for about 10 years, and we actually had a lot of like visual arts programming before. But now with the addition of the performing arts, it's really opened up the community to have a place to be able to come to see all different types of programming. You know, we don't do just plays there, but we partner with dance groups and music groups and all different kinds of groups. So it's really, like I said, given place a destination, people a destination to come to, as well as we like to partner with a lot of schools. We allow the school groups to come in and use the theater for free. And so it's really given a place for kids to be able to have that real theater stage experience.
And why is it so important that people really have this opportunity to interact with arts in their community?
You know, the arts are so important. I think about, like with music, for example. Music is something that if you were to take that out of a movie or out of a play, it just would feel like it's missing something. And, you know, in a lot of different schools, the arts are the first thing to go, but it gives people an outlet. And so I'm proud of the fact that we have that place where people can come and really have that outlet.
So what kind of programs are offered?
Sure. So we offer one of our biggest programs actually is our summer art camp. that we have every summer. This is our seventh or eighth year that we're going into. Again, we partner with different groups to do plays, dance performances, music, concerts. Every summer, we do a big outdoor concert called Fridays at the Fort, where it's an event that the community can come out to for free. We have food trucks and live music. I'm trying to think what else. We have visual arts programming. We are restarting art classes, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then we do have a monthly poetry meeting called the Poets Laureate of Lawrence.
And you do have the upcoming production of The Quest for Don Quixote. So can you kind of tell us what that's about?
Sure. The Quest for Don Quixote is a new work published by Mark Brown, or published by the dramatist, but it's written by Mark Brown. He's adapted other books like Around the World in 80 Days and Tom Jones, an old classic novel. This one is about trying to adapt. A playwright sits in a Starbucks trying to adapt Don Quixote into a comedy, and in the process it kind of becomes a story of him. The coffee shop ends up transforming into the world that you're used to with the Don Quixote world. Don Quixote in this process ends up getting, because it's a loose adaptation, he ends up getting some special skills and things just kind of unfold from there. But it's definitely a comedy, a lot of funny bits. Definitely got something for everyone. As we sit and watch rehearsal, everybody gets their different points where they kind of lose it. And it's been fun working through that process. But it's also got, the story has the heart of Don Quixote as well, where we still get those stories of him trying to be something better than he was, and both parties get to go through that struggle together.
So is this something that you've performed before?
No, this is our first time doing this production. Like I say, it was published in October of last year, 2017. So it's definitely still fresh out there, and it's been going well. So it's fun doing it for the first time, mm-hmm. because you get to create the characters, you get to create the vision, and the actors really have to go on the journey with you, because it's all about trying to find that path that it's not the typical path to get to these characters because of the adaptation, you know.
But it is kind of a play and a performance for, like, a whole family.
Not 100%. I would say it's about, I would cap it probably 10 to 13. It's got a couple words in it. If you're a family who isn't afraid of a couple words, then sure. I think, but it does have a couple words in it. It has a couple, I guess you could say sexual innuendo things, but nothing too far off the cuff that I would be completely ashamed of. But.
Good. And how have you kind of been preparing for opening night for this?
Stress eating and no, mostly we've been lots of rehearsal, tweaking everything, getting everything polished and ready, promoting. We've been all over our Facebook page and Arts for Lawrence Facebook page, but mostly, yeah, just getting everything tweaked right now, and we open this Friday, so knowing that, it's, yeah, well, I think we're ready. It's just we got a couple more rehearsals, and then we're going to open it up.
But is that pause for nerves or excitement?
It's excitement, because you never know where you're going to go with a product until you see it in front of an audience, right? Mm-hmm. And it's even more exciting when it's brand new, because you have no idea what the audience is going to do with it. And that's, you want to hope, having no source to draw from, having nothing to take from, you, as a director, you're always thinking, am I right or am I wrong? And I live on the pessimistic side usually in my head, so I'm always like, oh, it's just going to be crap and everything's going to be terrible and oh my gosh. But no, it's been a lot of fun because we're all questioning things, and that's the beauty of art. It's like, well, yeah, let's take it that way. Let's take it this way. It's never perfect, and even whenever we put it in front of an audience, you're always like, man, we could have tried that too, but you just never know.
So how did you originally get involved with theater?
Well, I started theater, I guess I started about 12 years ago now, just doing, when I was a young boy, my mom and dad had me, we watched Theater on the Roof, and I, like, fell in love with that movie for some reason as a young boy, and that just always in the back of my mind said, hey, someday I'm going to do theater. And I grew up in a small little redneck town to where you couldn't be a man and be in theater, you know. So once I moved to Indianapolis 12 years ago, I just all of a sudden it reminded me, and I'm like, let's do this. So that's how I got into it. And since then I've been studying up on it, working through it, just having fun. And then we created this Fat Turtle Theater Company last year to, because it's like we want to create works that we want to do and have fun and express our visions.
Do you have any other productions coming up?
Yes, we're partnering with Arts for Lawrence again over at Theater of the Fort in August. We're doing Godspell, which is a lot more well-known to people. But it's a take. We're doing the updated version, which is technically called Godspell 2012. So the music is definitely more modern. It's more of a rock than a synth or disco party or whatever you want to call the old version. But so it's a lot more active, a lot more we can do more of today's take with the version. And our director will be Brandy Underwood, who is the artistic director with Fat Turtle. And Joe Bersante, who's our technical director, will be doing the music direction.
So this is a film show, and we do like to talk about anything that you've seen recently that you've liked, favorite films.
Well, am I out there? We've been in rehearsal a lot, but I did get out to see Black Panther.
Yeah.
I was very excited about it. It was very good. I'm still debating if I think it was deserving of the praise. What do you think? Because I'm stuck in this world of, like, the first hour seemed to really drag for me.
It was. But it was a little, there were some slow parts, but I don't know. It's funny because, so my husband fell asleep during the slow parts. And then, you know, but I felt like they were important. Mm-hmm. It made the ending make sense. But I agree. There were some areas that probably could have come out. For me, I just loved all the outfits in the movie. That was probably one of my favorite parts. Not big on action, and I know that I'm going to get flack for this. I'm not necessarily a Marvel fan you know. But I thought it was done well, you know. I thought it was done well.
Did you see Phantom Thread?
No, I didn't have a chance to see that one.
That Daniel Day-Lewis movie. I'm a Daniel Day-Lewis fan, like a huge fan. And I went and saw that movie, and I'm like, the dude is incredibly talented, and it blew me away when I saw it. But at the same time, I was like, man, this could have been like a half hour short, and it would have been the most beautiful movie I've ever seen in a half hour. It was like over 2 hours, and I went and saw. I always go late because I like being I knew something like that, I'd be the only one in there, and I'd be good. And I always go late. So I went to see it, and I was like, man, I shouldn't have came to the late viewing because I'm wearing out. But it was good.
Yeah, I think the last ones I saw were the big Oscar contenders, so Three Billboards, Lady Bird, I, Tonya, those ones. I don't know if you guys saw those.
I saw I, Tonya.
Did you like it?
I'm going to be a no on that.
No?
I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but I just, it was something about, what was it? I kept wanting it to get better, right? Like, you're like, oh, I can see where this is going. I can see where, and something about it just kept holding it back. And I'm like, what is holding it back? I still haven't figured it out. But what do you think about it?
I loved it. I kind of fell in love with Allison Janney's character, Tanya's mom. Wow.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. She was good. She was fun.
Definitely my favorite. All right. Getting back to Don Quixote, Arts for Lawrence. When does the production open? How long is it going for? And where can people see it?
So, you know, we open March 23rd, and it runs for 2 weekends. Friday and Saturday, it starts at 7:30 p.m. And then on Sundays, it starts at 2:30 p.m. We do have an April 1st showing for those who are getting their Easter family together. After you get done with service or whatever you're doing, come on out and see it. But you can see it. It's going to be at the Theater at the Fort, which is at 8920 Otis Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can also get tickets. The easy link is fatturtletheater.com/tickets. What else am I missing there?
I think that's it. Where Theater at the Fort is right off of 56th and Post. So it's really easy, accessible from pretty much anywhere. We're right down from the interstate from 465. So I know a lot of people go, oh, Lawrence is so far out, but we're actually really, really close, really accessible.
And is there, like, volunteer opportunities or any way for people to get involved with Arts for Lawrence?
Oh, absolutely. We are always looking for volunteers. We always need show volunteers. So we do have one staff member who staffs the theater on the weekends, but everything else is all run by volunteers. And as our thank you or give back to our volunteers, we do let them see the performance for free. So a lot of times people will sign up for a show that they know they really want to see. And then we do have like weekly admin volunteer positions available, you know, and all ages. We really have something for every age. My kids are 13 and 14 and will come and volunteer for the shows. They can go to artsforlawrence.org and all of our volunteer opportunities are listed there.
That's film sociology correspondent McKenna May speaking with Leisha Floyd from the Arts for Lawrence, as well as Aaron Cleveland from the Fat Turtle Theater Company. The Quest for Don Quixote runs this weekend through the 1st of April. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back after the break, a guest you know and love here at Film Sociology, so stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Hi, this is Rich Coase, and I just wanted you to know that you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. It could have been in Berwyn, but it isn't. Well, hello there. I'm Sven Gulli from MeTV, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. If there's an Indian in Annapolis, it means that he's like, you know, a military-type person from Native America. Hello there, this is Kerwin, the prehistoric rubber chicken from the Sven Gulli Show on MeTV, and I wanted to remind you that you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis, which is like Indian no place. Well, hello there. My name is Zalman T. Tombstone from the Sven Gulli program on MeTV, and I wanted to advise you that you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. I flunked sociology, so good luck.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soce. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest. Now all my guests are special. It's like Saturday Night Live. They always have a great show. But this gentleman has his own intro. He's one of those regular guests. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce that his intro has been updated. So ladies and gentlemen, the new and improved intro for my very special guest.
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up?
Never! Never!
I do hateful things for which people love me, and I do lovable things for which they hate me. I'm admired for my detestability.
It is a newspaper's duty to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I don't like that song.
Abdul Kishim Shabazz is in studio, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Oh, boy. Okay. Your pledge dollars at work, folks.
Where else can you incorporate Chasing Amy, 1776, two different productions of Inherit the Wind,
and go gophers. Wow. What him say? Him say him go to bathroom. My personal favorite, White Man Speak with Forked Tongue. Well, by God, none of us are perfect.
And I bring this up. Okay, so the reason why Go, Go, Gophers is on there is Abdul and I, for many years, and by the way, good to have you in studio, friend.
Always good to be back, my friend.
Of course, Abdul Kim Shabazz of IndiePolitics.org, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But over the years, we have talked on air and off air about, the racist comic and cartoons that we grew up with.
Well, I don't necessarily call them racist. I just call them, hey, that's kind of what they were.
Right.
Sorry,
kind of racist. Yeah. A little racist.
Well, the Tom and Jerry cartoon where the guy's doing it's like the magician and he's the opera singer. And the guy takes the black pen and sprays him in the face. And then he starts doing like an ink spots
right.
routine.
I mean, if
and then they drop the anvil on his head. He says, "Honey, yeah. Child, everything you has is mine."
Yeah. I mean, if something blows up in somebody's face, it kind of was. And then, of course, in Tom and Jerry, you had the woman's leg and the voice, and that was it.
Yes.
So there was that. But we have talked about Speedy Gonzalez. We don't see Speedy Gonzalez on TV much. We definitely don't see Slowpoke Rodriguez on much these days.
Nor do we see Bugs Bunny in World War II.
Yeah, a lot of that. Although... I wonder if Pepe Le Pew and the Me Too movement will
Actually, you know what? I have thought about that. Is anybody going to file sexual harassment charges?
Well, as long as he's not doing anything in a potted plant, I guess he'll be okay.
But if you ever think about it, at the end of the movie, though, the female cat always chases him.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes!
Problem is, it's Stockholm, Massachusetts. The other one, and I kind of remember this was... there was a couple sidekicks on Dick Tracy, and there was one that was an Asian character who looked like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, his name was Pie Face.
Wow.
Well, no, I'll take that back. No, Pie was actually in the old Green Lantern comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Jordan's sidekick, his name was Pie.
P-I or P-I-E?
P-I-E.
Wow. See, so that's...
And even in MASH, Spear Chucker Jones.
Yes, played by Fred Williamson, and then played by that guy who wasn't Fred Williamson on the TV show. But ladies and gentlemen... We bring all of those up because you needed to be reminded of that. But Go Go Gophers, this was an offshoot of Underdog. It was him and Tennessee Tuxedo and Commander Bragg. And it was, I think this came out after F Troop, so cavalry humor.
Yeah, so that Western cavalry humor was part of it.
Sure. So you had coyotes as the cavalry, and you had two gopher Indians sitting all alone. And if the one who talks me big talk bad stereotype
yes.
wasn't bad enough, the other one only spoke in gibberish, which is what you heard in Abdul's intro. You're welcome, sir.
And it's good to be here.
And I also bring that because I have a special surprise for you.
Wow.
Abdul Kim Shabazz, you now own all 21 episodes of
Go Gophers. You know, I just called to say I love you.
I want to thank Family Video in Richmond for having that available for purchase. And
not Martinsville?
Not Martinsville. And of course, what happens quite often when videos are put out for sale? Because they hadn't been rented in a long time. So... Yeah, that's research, my friend.
And you can tell this has been out for a while because the Indians are been sitting in the sun, so they've gotten lighter.
It's been on it's out in the middle of
the store.
Yeah, the sunlight and everything. Hopefully this makes up for the last DVD I got you for Christmas, which was Superman 3 and 4.
Oh, don't worry, your day shall come.
Yeah. You know what? I'm asking for it in spades.
Why, thank you. And triple spades of that.
How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I've been doing well. Been busy with politics. As you know, I deal with a lot of the Indiana General Assembly, so all the special session stuff that the good friends at WFYI and Indiana Public Media have been covering, I've been covering that as well. And also in the middle of a little bit of controversy, as you may well know, with the U.S. senatorial debate.
Yes.
And so I had to deal with a little bit of that, too. But otherwise... I never knew a black man could be so happy.
You're as right as rain.
Yes.
besides having you on here, how have your Sundays been?
How have my Sundays been?
You've been shopping a little more on Sundays? I know the first Sunday you and I did, not together. That's a road trip that needs to happen. Yeah. But the earth didn't open up and swallow anybody.
I did not see a beast who had seven heads who rolled out of the Sea of Lake Fire. The Babylon was mother of all horrors.
You know what? Of course, we're talking about Sunday liquor sales. You know what the biggest debate was on social media? Because I had written, because I went and got Indiana beer at an Indiana grocery store on a Sunday. Thank you. But I had written, I went, I bought this, and hell, you know, the earth is not going to hell in a handbag. And there was a big debate whether it's handbag or hand basket. What was it like in the south side of Chicago?
Hell.
Okay, but didn't bag not needed.
Yeah, bag not needed. I mean, if you had a handbag, you didn't have it for very long.
But yeah, that's true. So yeah, but that was the bigger debate, not the, you know, just life kind of goes on.
Yeah, I was went to one of the liquor stores on the west side of town, 21st Amendment, and Facebook Live the whole thing.
I do remember that. You bought a nice bottle of spirits.
Nice bottle of monkey shoulder scotch, which I really—
Excuse me?
Yeah, I know. Which I really, really like. It's really good. You know, it's got the Dr. Zaya seal of approval.
Not Tarzan.
You'll go ape over monkey shoulder scotch.
That's another endorsement deal. We were talking about a certain restaurant, which we're not going to get into because it hasn't happened. But it's kind of the endorsement would be under, yeah, you're looking at this. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. No, everything was fine. And we're like, what, like a month into it now, and the universe is still here. The world did not come to an end. I'll occasionally drive over to Avon, and there's a place called Mr. B's Cigar Shop, where I'll just go work on my legal stuff and have a cigar when I can't work at home. And there's a liquor store right next to it. Guess what? People come in, they buy their purchases, and they leave.
They're not getting flogged with olive branches or Max von Sydow's not there with the power of Christ compels you.
No, there's none of that. No, there's no Mel Gibson yelling at you.
Well, that's the well, there could hopefully be, not. Yeah. If so. Cool. All right. So, well, good to have you. And I know you're still catching up on some of the Academy Awards stuff, but we're now in the transition of we're getting away from Oscar season. It's out. I think most of the films are now on video. I think there's maybe one or two titles.
Either out on video, DVD, or as my universe, it is Google Play or Amazon rentals.
So you get that. And I know you're going to be seeing Shape of Water hopefully next week.
Yes.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm debating whether to go catch up at Keystone, because that's like the only place that's playing other than Bloomington.
And they have a bar and
they have
real butter on the popcorn. You're done with your liquor fasting, aren't you?
Yes, I am. That's well, right. I kind of started back up again a little bit because I want to try to drop about 10 pounds.
Thought you'd try Lent out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, no, but they're so like I'm in sort of this dilemma. Because Shape of Water.
Let me get my jacket. Dr. Sosie, film therapist, here for you.
Actually, it's not the missus.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done with that for a while. It is more of a, there's some movies that I like, but I don't necessarily know if I want to pay full price. So they become what I call my Sunday afternoon slot. That Sunday afternoon between like 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Pacific Rim.
The second one. You know Guillermo del Toro is not directing
that.
Yes. I don't think Idris is in it.
Idris is not in it. I don't expect it to be good, but I want to kind of see it on the big screen.
You're aware.
Yes. I walk into this movie fully prepared for the blank fest that is coming.
Okay. All right.
I fully understand that. That's why I have no desire to pay full price, but I don't want to wait for it to come out on video and watch it on the small screen.
That's fair. That's a fair idea.
And since the Dollar Theater technically no longer exists.
Yeah. But and then there's a certain chain, which I can't mention because we don't do endorsement deals, but I believe they have a Tuesday evening special, but I know that's during the week in your world.
Yeah, I'm usually doing something else.
Right.
But I really wanted to go see Shape of Water, but the only time was like, you know, noon, like 1:45, 7, and like 9.
All right. Well, fingers crossed on that one. But yeah, it's one of those, yes, people should be aware. It is a sequel, but I think the real glue from the first one that made it so enjoyable is not involved.
Kind of like Kick-Ass 2?
I'll tell you, probably one of the more egregious ones is, do you remember Jarhead?
Yes.
Jarhead was Jamie Foxx, Jake Gyllenhaal. And it's a story. It was soldiers during the Iraq War in the 90s, But for the most part, these guys didn't see a whole lot of combat. So it was what happens when you're deployed and you have a lot of time on your hands.
Or if I may use an analogy from your universe.
Yes, sir.
The original RoboCop film was a masterpiece full of cinema, full of humor and science fiction, and kept you on your edge of the seat the entire time. RoboCop 2 was 97 minutes long.
Well, and what happened, and the first Jarhead was directed by Sam Mendes, the man who gave us American Beauty, and was a theater director. He did Skyfall. He directed Spectre. You know, a legit director. And then what happened was the film didn't do well. But the studio still owned the name, apparently, because they wound up making some straight-to-DVD sequels that were more action-y than inaction-y. So, I know. But you were mentioning earlier, like, Matthew Vaughn was not involved in Kick-Ass 2, and it kind of shows.
Yeah.
So, but you're aware of this, so that's
all right. It's like people keep making Punisher movies. It's like, why?
It was Dolph Lundgren, and then there was Thomas Jane.
There was one with John Travolta, and
He was the villain.
Yeah, and then there's the one that's on Netflix
with the guy who was in Baby Driver, among other things. Okay, so he's aware of that. So let us know how John Boyega and Scott Eastwood do beating up monsters in their robot outfits.
I walk into this, my friend, fully aware. I have fully signed the waiver.
Yeah,
of good taste and decency.
Give us long shots of things beating up things. Don't give us 27 close-ups and fast editing. All right, and actually, opening this weekend, Abdul, I thought of you. I have on the corduroy jacket with the elbow pads. It is Dr. Soucy, film therapist, my best client, and his lovely wife, who is not here. We've done sessions without her. Man talk.
She almost was here.
Really?
Well, I had some time, and I was like, no, maybe I should go pick up the wife first. And like, no.
We only have 40 minutes. We don't have the whole session. But
this isn't pledge week.
Your lovely wife's, I guess I should say, as far as I know, her Shakespearean flaw is her taste of scary movies.
Yes.
So
and let's just be specific.
Yes.
It is not scary as in suspense scary. It is scary as in hands clapping, as in ventriloquist dolls.
Ah, yes. Okay.
As in blood of the stairs.
Yeah, kind of gimmicky. By the way, I saw a trailer for one that just screams your wife, and it's called Truth or Dare, and it's not the Madonna film, but it's you have to play it, and if you don't, bad things happen, and it's just it looks like. But
in case you're ever wondering, who is the one person watching Showtime Beyond? Who's the one black woman in that demographic?
Mm-hmm.
It's my wife.
Oh, that's good. Well, I saw something that opened this weekend. It is suspenseful. It is scary at times, but it has a real director behind it, and it has real actors. And it's not bloody, and it's more internal. It's more of a head trip. It's called Unsane, and it is the new film from Steven Soderbergh, our guy. Now, this one, it stars Claire Foy, for you fans of The Crown. Jay Farrow's in it. And she's a woman who is involuntarily committed into a mental institution, and it just starts to spiral.
It goes downhill. That's the highlight of the film.
Yeah, it just kind of goes downhill on there. And is she delusional? This is a film that it's a genre picture. And Soderbergh, of course, the man who gave us Ocean's 11, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, The Informant, among other things. He, of course, the last one he won was Logan Lucky, which he wanted to make a redneck Ocean's 11, and he did, and did it well. Well, this one, it's shot on phone, so and it works in the case of this film because it has a very voyeuristic, paranoid, because of this woman being committed. And it's also, I say it's a genre film because you know there's probably going to be ending A or ending B. The question is, do you enjoy the trip along the way? It's unsettling. Good performances from everybody across the board. We mentioned The Informant. Soderbergh is really good at getting comedic actors to do non-comedic performances. You think of all the stand-up comics who are in The Informant. Jay Farrow, of course, the Saturday Night Live is in this, is one of the patients. Juno Temple is in it as well. So, and I have to say, without giving away too much, it mixes ending A and ending B well.
Hmm.
So I don't know if he can do, you know, of course we heard rumors that Soderbergh was going to retire, kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
And but apparently this is he's going to continue to make films, but he's going to do them with phones. We'll see how that works. But in this case, I think it does work. So this might be the grown-up suspense film for you and Mrs. Shabazz.
Huh.
So that's Dr. Soce's prescription. That's $400. Oh wait, you have insurance. That's $190.
Actually, I'm paying in cash, so it's only $100.
I'll take it. So anyway, that is opening this weekend in theaters across the country. Heading down to IU Cinema because good art is worth traveling for. Depending on when you're listening to this show, if you're listening on Saturday,
you might want to stay home if you're listening on Saturday, only because of the weather we're expected to get.
Yeah, I'll believe that when you know what? If you hear me on the air Saturday. Not that bad.
Yeah.
Or I'm just crazy.
Or both.
Or both. If you're heading down at 3 o'clock on Saturday the 24th at IU Cinema, from 1977, Robert Altman's underrated film Three Women with Sissy Spacek, Shelley Duvall, and the third woman. At 7 o'clock from 19...
Okay, we're talking Sissy Spacek and Shelley Duvall. Are there like any mass murderers in
no,
there?
No, it's not Ruby. It's not Carrie. It's not Popeye. Just the two of them.
Not even The Shining?
No, it's not The Shining. This is before The Shining.
Okay.
Before, and then at 7 o'clock, Saturday, March 24th, at 7 p.m., a really fine film, Eve's Bayou. On Sunday, March 25th, the 1959 Western, Love Your Dad, Ride Lonesome from 1959. At 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th, the National Theater live performance of Follies. Monday, March 26th, Abdul, this is time to play hooky. At 3 o'clock, as a part of the Monday Matinee Classics, one of the funniest films ever made from 1940, His Girl Friday.
Ah, which I have seen before.
Yes. Has
Judy,
has the
Judy,
misses.
Judy.
He doesn't say that. But Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant, and it's also one of the fastest
yes.
talking films ever made. At 7 o'clock, March 26th, The Bothersome Man. Tuesday, March 27th, there is a documentary at 7 o'clock. From last year, oh no! You're gonna enjoy this. It's called Bombshell. It is not about Harvey Korman. It's about Hedy Lamarr.
Hedley.
Right. Friday, March 30th at 6:30 p.m. The Player, Robert Altman's film about show business, and then at 9:30 p.m. from 2017, last year's Best Foreign Film winner, A Fantastic Woman from Chile. Saturday, March 31st at 3 o'clock. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Ooh,
I always wondered.
You're thinking about it.
Okay, I'm thinking about it because I've always wondered, you know, in the universe that we live in, you and I are in the same age bracket.
Yeah.
So many movies that used to only see at the movie theater.
I saw this on the big screen
in
82, you bet.
But when we now watch it, it's, you know, television, whether it's, you know, TBS or Netflix or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually sit through one of those movies now through its entirety without getting up? When we're so used to...
But I
you know where the you know it gets a little slow that you
yeah.
just get up and leave and then you just come back.
Well, sure. I mean, well, and we've if you go to enough movies, when you see it in the cinema, you know, sadly there are certain things like romantic subplots or that's when you kind of know you can get up and go
yeah.
or right after a particularly tense moment.
Because when I saw when they re-released the Star Wars movies and they actually showed them in the theater, I remember sitting in an Empire, which. Has always been my favorite one of the three, but
yep.
there's a couple parts that thing is just kind of.
He spends a lot of time trying to lift that rock and he can't.
Yeah, it's like, man.
So
that'd be the part where I like, you know, either go to the bathroom or just get up and
right.
leave and walk back in.
And I understand that. I mean, there's like, unfortunately, sorry, but there are certain, like I said, romantic subplots. Like, you know, you see a female in Bridge on the River Kwai, you can go get popcorn. You'll be fine on that.
Yeah.
But, I have said many times before, one of our favorites, it's in your intro, Inherit the Wind, the original Inherit the Wind, the film, Spencer Tracy, Frederick March. For me, that is the acting equivalent of a heavyweight title bout. The undercard is Shatner Montabon
yes.
in Star Trek II. That's a...
Khan, you just meant to kill about everybody else. But what me, Khan, you're going to have to come down here.
Yep. So that's 3 o'clock next Saturday, March 31st. And then A Fantastic Woman at 7 p.m. Monday, April 2nd, Melly Murals. And then on Thursday, April 5th, The Namesake. So anyway, plenty of stuff down there at IU Cinema. At the historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Friday and Saturday, well, Saturday really. So on the 24th at 7:30 p.m., The Neverending Story.
Actually, I got my little brother that movie as a present for his 40th birthday.
Did he like it?
Because that was his favorite movie as a little kid.
Really? It's
and I went and found it on Amazon.
I tried showing it to HW, and it was too creepy looking for her.
Yeah. She loved The Neverending Story. My little brother loved Neverending Story and Flight of the Navigator. Those were his two.
Oh, yeah. Those were the go-tos at that time. Yeah, really cool fantasy film. Yes, the visual effects are a little dated, but that's part of its charm. And there's also, this is Wolfgang Peterson, who I believe had already directed Das Boot. This was his first, quote-unquote, American film he would later do In the Line of Fire, among others. So that's pretty cool.
The question is, do they have is the soundtrack is A Long Way to Tipperary?
No, I don't know.
Because I actually saw a version of Das Boot on YouTube where they had that in the backdrop.
Well, it was originally a mini series for German television, and then they did a 2-hour version, which I remember seeing in the theater with my dad, and then there was a three and a half hour director's cut. So
I've seen the 3-hour director's cut.
You okay?
Long,
yeah, but man, the paranoia and the tightness.
And that was just the movie theater.
Submarine movies prior to that, they didn't really have to work. They didn't try to work on, you know, actual size. They just kind of, like, if you've seen the studio, this is huge. But
It's not Sea Voyage.
Right. Exactly.
Die, Mr. Christian. No, I'm sorry, that's the Penguin in Batman and Robin. They were the Penguin
submarine. Yeah. April 6th and 7th at the Hartcraft Theater in Franklin, one of the great Gab Fests. At 2 and 7:30 p.m., All About Eve.
Hmm.
Bette Davis, yeah. And Ann Baxter, George Sanders, Celeste Holm.
Who, by the way, since Easter weekend is right around the corner, you know what that means. Whoa. Ten Commandments is going to be on.
Again.
Somewhere.
Do we...
But you know what?
Do you count that as... That's not an Easter film. It's a biblical film. It just... They show it on Easter.
Yeah, but Ann Baxter, though.
Yeah, oh, that's...
Pharaoh
Vincent Price. And, see, it's more than it's more.
But I have to laugh. Like, wouldn't Vincent Price be more interested in Joshua than the slave girl?
Yeah, we're not talking about that. But it's more than just Edward G. Robinson.
I mean,
at that time, half the Screen Actors Guild was in the Ten Commandments.
Right.
So,
where's your Moses now?
And I think the other half, if they weren't in that, but about a decade later, they were in The Greatest Story Ever Told. Anyway, All About Eve is great. Go see that on the big screen. April 13th and 14th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Napoleon Dynamite. I still think that film cracks me up. April 20th, as a part of the Real Women, R-E-E-L, Vintage Wine Series, Friday, April 20th, Bridget Jones's Diary. So that is all happening at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. The drive-ins are open. It's March, and the drive-ins are open. I guess it depends on the weather, really.
But it still gets dark about 8 o'clock.
That's
so.
True. So do you remember the last drive-in you went to?
This is in Chicago.
Obviously.
Like 19.
You haven't dragged Mrs. to the drive-in to fog up the windows? And I'm trying to watch the movie. Because all of our wives sound like Geraldine.
Yes, I do.
Text from Mrs. Shabazz in 3, 2. I don't sound like that.
When that Negro wake up, you tell him what happened.
Okay.
Yes, dear.
At the Tibbs Drive-In. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here are the potentially odd pairings. Screen 1, Pacific Rim Uprising, and The Strangers, Pray at Night.
Hmm.
That's a Sharon film.
You
need to see that. Screen 2, 8:20, Winchester. The PG-13 horror movie, thriller, really, with Helen Mirren and Death Wish with Bruce Willis. I saw that.
You know what?
Don't. No.
Here's a problem I had with that. Number one, the original Charles Bronson Death Wish, which, by the way, ended up making, like, what, 12 of them?
They made 4, 5.
Eventually this guy's going to run out of family, you know? Well, when your second cousin two times removed is now the murder victim, we've run the course. The first one I thought was actually kind of interesting.
It was.
Because it ties into that whole kind of 80s, 70s vigilantism.
70s, grungy New York.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about this on the show before. I just found out from some research and then reading some articles, the original director-actor linked to Death Wish in 1973, Sidney Lumet, and this is the man that gave us Network, 12 Angry Men, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, and Jack Lemmon. that Abdul just leaned back and went, excuse me?
What?
And apparently what happened was when it was heard that Dino De Laurentiis was going to produce it, both actor and director dropped out.
Wow.
And you got – because I want to see a non-action star as Paul Kersey. In the original novel, which I think I'm going to buckle down and buy, he's an architect – or not an architect. He's an accountant.
Yeah.
And now, of course, now we get to the 70s, everybody's favorite architect Charles Bronson. And now Bruce Willis is a doctor. I want to see Richard Jenkins in this. I want to see Bryan Cranston in Death Wish. I don't need Bruce Willis sleepwalking through it. And it's by Eli Roth, who gave us Hostel. I want to see somebody who hasn't starred in an action film be the vigilante.
Like Tom Hiddleston?
Then there'll be the complaints of the English guys taking all the American jobs. You know, like our favorite English African-American.
Yes, sir, that's right. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, John Boyega, Idris Elba. There's a Three to Hard Way remake I'm talking about.
Don't,
but anyway.
Don't be mad at us because we know how to speak English.
That's right. Queen's English. Screen 3, Tomb Raider. Screen along with Game Night. Do you guys do Game Night? You don't do Game Night.
No.
No, you're not that family.
No, my wife would probably she will probably watch it when it comes out when we sit on HBO or Showtime.
Right. And in Screen 4, Wrinkle in Time and Black Panther.
Somebody trying to make a point?
That's apparently so if you go to 1 through 3, you're gonna get a double take from the guy at the box office.
Yeah.
But by the way, that's if you'll indulge, you've done this on more than one occasion where you will be behind.
People of similar demographics.
There you go.
Yes, I'll be going to see a movie at the movie theater. People of similar demographics will be in front of me, you know, 2-4, Black Panther, 3-4, Black Panther, 2-4, Black Panther. Darkest Hour, please.
And you wait to see if the guy does a double take.
Yes.
And you'll call him out on it.
Like, aren't you here for Black Panther? Do I look like I'm here for Black Panther? What makes you think I'm here for Black Panther? How do you know I'm not here for Winston Churchill? Greatest Prime Minister of Britain, by the way, who after the war in World War II, they threw him out of office.
Because he said Nazis. Yeah. Nazis.
Yeah. We shall fight them in the lands and in the sea and in the hills. We shall never surrender. But why do you think I'm here for Black Panther?
And to be fair, I did the reverse at the same video store I got that. I was renting. It was one of the non-Madea Tyler Perry movies, but I had to see something that came out on video that week, and it was a kid. I think he was high school, maybe college, and I saw him do a double take, and I instantly called him out. What, I can't watch a Tyler Perry movie? What are you trying to say?
I just say, sir, I thought you looked more intelligent.
Yeah, well, that would have been a good answer. But anyway, so that's over at the Tibbs. At the Skyline, you have Tomb Raider and Peter Rabbit. Wait, okay, they're having Peter Rabbit first. I'm like, you don't have that going second. So anyway, those are over at the Skyline Drive-In. Not a whole lot of note on Blu-ray and DVD this week. Jumanji, this is the second film Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson have done together. That's great.
I mean, I saw the first Jumanji. That was enough for me.
That was enough. Okay, Pitch Perfect 3, I've never seen 1 or 2.
Yeah, so one or two.
I'm afraid I'm going to miss subtle nuances. Downside.
No, I should mix the complicated plot and character exploration.
Of this, show and wire.
Exactly. Jazz hands and sparkling.
And fingers. Then Alexander Payne's Downsizing, which I kind of liked more than the rest of the group. This is the one when Matt Damon shrinks down and, hey, some of my best friends are shrinking kind of thing. Because if you've seen the trailers for this, it's set in the future, not too distant future, and you get shrunk, so you take up less space, but you'll get more wealth. And I'm like, well, you can only run with that joke so far. And then the film does take a different turn and have a little sociopolitical message in the second half. Some folks like I thought it was fine. It's not Payne's best work.
It's not like hit over your head social message.
I would say probably with a cardboard to borrow a term from Ed Johnson out of Nouveau, it's like getting hit over the head with a cardboard tube as opposed to a hammer.
Okay.
As opposed to Fred Williams.
Okay, yeah. Because I wasn't sure. Because I looked at it and I was like, okay.
You can rent it. And if anything else, our guy Christoph Waltz is in it.
Okay.
So you got that. All right. Moving on here. At the Irving Theater, you have to make notes on this. Saturday, April 14th at the Irving, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is happening at the Irving. Have you been to a Rocky Horror?
Yes. Actually, in Europe.
Ooh. Any different than the States? Europeans do it like
this.
And in Americans do
it. Well, first of all, you're on the other side of the road. When I went to college in Munich for a few years, there was a movie theater downtown Munich that on Fridays at like 3 o'clock would just show the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's what they did every Friday. So okay. I went and saw it a couple times. Of course, the thing is, you really did have to take all the stuff with, like, the umbrella for the rice and the toast. And
all the props.
It was full audience participation.
So that is happening at the Irving. Mark your calendars there. At the IMAX Theater downtown, this is a big deal because I actually bought tickets in advance. But on Wednesday, April 11th, and it's a non-IMAX presentation, but it's still a big screen who enjoys this, the 1966 Western masterpiece, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Some people would say that was the legislative session of 2018.
Did you enjoy that? So, and he plays Ennio Morricone in his office whenever possible. But that's Wednesday, April 11th at 7 p.m. I'm going to be there. I know the Hartzes are going to be there, who are regulars. So I guess if you want to come out and see what the film sociology guy looks like, you've been warned. But that is happening April 11th. May 9th at 7 o'clock, they're going to show the original Westworld with
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, Yul Brynner and James Brolin. And Richard Benjamin, and I believe the other one, yes, Wednesday, June 13th at 7 o'clock, No Country for Old Men. So there's some older titles that you can see on the big screen.
Not everybody can kill you with a air gun.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, earlier this week, the IMA, the Indianapolis Museum of Art, announced their summer cinema series, summer night series.
Before you jump to that, yes. I want to get your thoughts on something.
Okay.
This is kind of the movie etiquette question.
Uh-oh. Death.
Actually,
throw them out. Yeah. Throw them out.
Well, no. If it's a place like the IMAX, any place, because now we're now in a universe of reserved seating,
correct,
which I think is great, because now you can figure out where you want to sit and
right.
Book early. Is it wrong to book these seats on, not only to reserve your seat, but also book the seats on both sides of you and the three in front of you? And the three.
You haven't done this yet.
And the three in back of you.
So you don't have to be bothered by
yes.
humans and their smelly food
yes.
and their children.
Yes.
Have you done this yet? Really want to.
I came pretty close.
If you hit the numbers.
On a couple Star Wars ones. IMAX. I was getting there.
I tell you what. You do it first and tell me how it goes.
Okay.
Tell me how it turns out. I actually, Unsane, when I saw it on Friday morning, not a whole lot of people, so I got the seat, but there was a couple over to my right, and their coats were in what was technically my seat, but I was okay,
because
I took the seat next to it, and then the woman came, within 5 minutes, a woman came up, and she kind of saw the pattern, like, apparently I was sitting, my coat was sitting in her seat, and she sat, so that one, I'm like, well, it's open, it's loose, if it's packed... you know what? I'll ask Craig Mintz at IMAX and see what he thinks about that.
But if I bought them and I paid for them,
you're fun on flights.
It's not like I'm somebody just like throwing their coat down so nobody else can sit next to
them. Right,
you're
not being a jerk. You're actually paying for it.
Actually paying for the so the movie theater's not being robbed.
I want to see you spend $130 at IMAX to not be bothered.
Watch me. Watch me.
I want photographic proof.
I will, and you know me.
You know me. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let's see if this happens by the end of the year. Abdul buying a moat, a theatrical seat moat. The Castle Abdul.
That's right. One day, all this will be yours. Want the curtains?
No, not the curtains. Okay, back to the summer night series at the IMA. This is where you can have your picnic baskets and your parasols and all that. June 1st, The Philadelphia Story. Great romantic triangle with Jimmy Stewart, Katherine Hepburn, Cary Grant.
I was about to say, is that the one about the atomic bomb?
That's The Philadelphia Experiment. June 8th, But I'm a Cheerleader. That's the... This is the one of the All-American Megan who is sent to a boot camp. It's a rehabilitation camp designed to sort out her sexuality.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll be reading Marlon Bundo there. But anyway, that's June 8th. June 9th, Bend It Like Beckham. That's fun. June 15th, The Graduate.
By Mrs. Robinson.
Have you shown Mrs. that one?
I've never shown her that one.
I have to work on that. It's pretty good.
That would take some work.
HW really enjoyed The Graduate. She watched.
It's not that my wife doesn't appreciate older films.
Yeah, and we love Sharonda. She knows what she likes, and we like gently bust her chops.
Yeah, just some older, we would consider more classic cinematic films.
Slow.
Yeah,
that's kind of like Kobe when he was here. So.
Yeah, it wouldn't quite appreciate. Yeah. For example, eventually she will appreciate Annie Hall. Eventually we will get
there. Because she lives with it. There's two types of people.
I got commentary and dysentery are working together.
There's two types of people in this world, the horrible and the miserable. So be happy that you're miserable. The Graduate on June 15th. The original Night of the Living Dead on June 16th.
Don't eat dark meat.
He almost made it.
He almost made it. Almost.
June 20th.
Shot by the cops.
Shot by a random guy with guns in Pennsylvania. Thanks. June 22nd.
200 miles, you're in Philly.
June 22nd, Big Hero 6. June 29th, A Shot in the Dark.
It's
Peter
been a
Sellers is Clouseau. Yep. July 6th, Grease 2.
Why?
I don't know. July 7th, I'm excited. I'm trying to talk my family into this. Enter the Dragon.
Bruce Lee.
At the IMA. Jim Kelly and John Saxon. And the guys, Mr. Han with the fake.
And Mr. Han with the fake Wolverine.
Yeah. So that's there. July 13th, the original Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Not to be confused with The Shape of Water.
Not The Shape of Water, although that's a good double feature. July 14th, Aquila and the Bee. One of the finer spelling bee movies out there. Hi, Kiki Palmer. July 20th, An American Werewolf in London. Hey, your horror's in my comedy. Hey, your comedy's in my horror.
You'll be speaking French like Marcel.
There you go. So that's happening there.
That was actually...
That's
actually pretty good.
Yeah, directed by John Landis.
And what's the... When he goes to the transformation for the first time, I'm trying to remember the song, the music that they played.
Blue Moon? No, it wasn't Blue
Moon. It wasn't Blue Moon. That was the opening.
Right. We'll have to check on that.
Yeah.
We'll check on that. July 27th, selections from the Indie Shorts International Film Festival. August 3rd is Hitch. August 10th, Pretty in Pink. August 11th, Blair Witch Project. We're in a lull.
Wow.
Ah, August 17th, Strangers on a Train. Alfred Hitchcock, okay. The Throw Mama from the Train's origin story. You know, that's that. And then August 24th, The Dark Knight. And then August 31st, When Harry Met Sally.
I'll have what she's having.
That's right. So all of that is happening at the Summer Night Series at the IMA. So mark your calendars. You might see. We've been for years we're talking about the film sociology field trip with or the cinematic dinner party with the Slagles and the Shabazzes. This might be it. So,
well, as long as it doesn't turn into that one film with Cameron Diaz and the one black guy where they invite people to dinner.
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper.
The kind of a liberal fairy tale of offing off horrendous GOP people, conservatives.
And there was a Nation of Islam guy in there too.
Yeah, there was. It was a one note joke.
But I actually kind of liked it.
Did you?
It's one of those. It's a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. HBO.
There you
go. You
got
nothing else to do.
All right.
And it's cold outside.
Maybe it's cold outside. Not that song. Yeah. Got about 2 minutes left or so. I quickly want to say I dipped into the archives, and this is a film I've always heard the title, and finally checked it out. It's called Harry and Walter Go to New York, and it's two third-rate vaudevillians who wind up crossing paths with a celebrity safecracker. This is done in the 1920s. But the comedy duo, James Caan and Elliot Gould.
Hmm.
You have Michael Caine as the master safecracker, Diane Keaton, Jack Gilford, Charles Durning. It's a pretty impressive cast. It's directed by Mark Rydell, who would later do On Golden Pond. It's produced by Tony Bill, and it was kind of trying to cash in on The Sting as far as having a period piece comedy. You have a really impressive cast of people. The problem is it's not all that funny. And I know the vaudevillian guys aren't supposed to be funny, kind of like, they're not supposed to be talented in Ishtar. And I guess, James Caan needed to do a comedy after doing The Godfather and Cinderella Liberty. But I know it went way over budget, didn't make money, and apparently a lot of the comedic stuff was cut out. So one of those clashes with the studios,
I should have just called it Bugsy Malone.
Well, they cut the budget because the actors were half the size because they were young ones. All right, IndiePolitics.org. What do people are going to see when they check it out this weekend?
We're now getting ready to go. We're in primary season, so there'll be lots of interviews and conversations with candidates who are on the ballot in some of the major contested races here in Indiana.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by. Soylent Green is people. Zardoz has spoken. Go to IndiePolitics.org. Abdul, thanks for hanging out, as always.
And save us the aisle seats.
That's an old-school PBS reference. So go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan. Thank you.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!
Always do the right thing, Matt Soucy.